Is it just what I'm going to do later? Like the for dinner.
Does it bring them like soda? And we have to let them have soda. So it's like, you can have a
soda. We're live. Well, welcome. We're going to call the meeting to order at 5:03 on January 11th. Welcome, everybody. The first thing we're going to do is I'm going to turn it over to my vice chair, Rachel.
Hello.
We're going to talk about the consent agenda.
Yes. So tonight we were alerted that Commissioner Campbell may be a few minutes late. He is running some auditions right now. Other than that, I would entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda, which includes tonight's meeting agenda as well as the meeting minutes from December 14th.
So moved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Well, we have to have a discussion first.
No, a favor?
No? Okay. Because I do want to add one small thing. So excuse our technical difficulties. Yeah.
All in favor? Opposed? Discussion?
Okay, discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair.
Anyone opposed? And now discussion.
I promise this won't be a comedy of errors. Bear with us.
Make no promise.
Well, I could actually. That could be a lot of fun. I do want to add a small addition to the agenda today, which is it looks like, although I don't think she's here yet, but Stephanie Stiebich from the Tacoma Art Museum may be joining us, and she wants to talk about the Tacoma Action
Coalition
or Collective, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where would that
just we're going to put that into discussion and updates.
Who moved to approve the consent agenda?
That was Tracy.
And who seconded it?
Oh, I seconded it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Wanda.
Tracy, will you consider an amendment to your motion to accept Mike's addition to the agenda?
Yes. I so move with the friendly amendment.
And I also second that amendment
to the
motion.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
So basically, if Stephanie does arrive, we'll figure out a good break and allow her to just talk to us about some of the protests that are happening through the Art Aids America show and some of the issues that were brought up and what they're doing to address those. So it would be a good thing to hear about.
Yeah, I hope she makes it. Great. So next on our agenda, we do have a new member here of the commission. And Commissioner Kendrick, we're going to ask you to introduce yourself, but before we do that, I do want to throw out a shout-out to Tracy and Dane, who served really terrifically, and I really appreciate that you're still here with us and can keep your experience really informing the commission. So thank you very much for your time served. So why don't you introduce yourself, and then after that, maybe tell us about a little bit about yourself in a short elevator speech, and then we'll go around and everybody can introduce themselves as well so you know who you're sitting with.
Okay. My name is Jeanne Kendrick, and I am Associate Professor of Jazz Voice at Cornish College of the Arts in Seattle. I run my own band, write a lot of music, also a violinist and very mediocre pianist as well, but just life has always been the art, so.
Great.
Happy
Welcome.
To be here. Thank you.
Dane, why don't you start, and we'll just go around.
Okay. Dane Meyer, and commercial photographer for 28 years, I think. Commissioner since 2009.
Katrina Toft, I have a small bronze art foundry, and we've been in business for the past 7 years, and I've been a commissioner for the past year and a half. And I'm also
nurse. Hi, I'm Paul Throne. I'm a manager at the State Health Department, and I've been on the commission for about 5 months.
Welcome. How do you say your name so I can make sure I pronounce it correctly?
Jeanne.
Jeanne. Okay, love that. I'm Wanda Thompson, and I have been with the commission on my, second term?
I think
about
so.
That. Mm-hmm. But I was also a commissioner under Doug Sutherland many, many years ago. So I just cannot stay away, and you'll see why. I am a government worker and educator, ready to confer my master's next semester, finally.
Nice.
And a literary, I guess you could say a literary buff, but a lover of all things that are literary.
Just get back and make Hallie introduce yourselves. We're letting John A., our new commissioner, know who we are.
Oh, hi. it's my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I'm Hallie Kanigi. I work at Alaska Airlines in PR, and my husband, Chuck, is an artist, and so I help promote his art.
I'm Rebecca Salverson. I work with public art projects and whatever else comes up for the arts program.
Amy McBride, I'm the arts administrator, and we facilitate the commission and, you know, implement whatever the heck we come up with, along with Naomi, who's in Disneyland right now, pointing at her empty spot there.
Hi, I'm Mike Sweeney, and as you can tell, I've been the chair for about 10 minutes. 7 minutes, excuse me. Let the record show. It's been 7 minutes. And by day, I also manage the public art program for the State Arts Commission.
Hi, I'm Rachel Cardwell. I'm also vice chair 8 minutes now. I went to PLU and got my BFA in theater many moons ago, but these days they don't let me anywhere near a stage, so I manage community outreach for University of Puget Sound.
You know me.
Yeah.
I'm Kareem. Hi. I teach at Tacoma School of the Arts, Ted Brown Music, and do composing and performing and playing and a lot of music stuff, which you already know. So, hello. Good to see you.
Hi. Hi, Heather Conklin. I teach visual arts at Lincoln High School.
And I'm Lynn Wilmot-Stengem, dancer, choreographer, teacher. I'm also the arts director for the YMCA of Pearson Kids Help Counties.
Oh.
I'm Tracy Kelly. And my day job is at Safe Streets, where I do development work. So I actually have a degree in sculpture and installation work, but my main art right now is grant writing.
Hi, I'm Don Lackey. I'm a retired math and chemistry instructor, and this is the start of my 8th year on the commission. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how many of you have been on the commission less than 1 year? Raise your hands. Wow. See, so you're in good company. How many have been between 1 and 5 years? How many, or would we be the rest over?
Yeah. This time around, yeah.
8 years or more?
Wow.
Yeah,
so it'll be 1 year. 7 is when I started, yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Well, the agenda day is mercifully short, which is good, in large part because we have our retreat coming up, and that is, what date is that, Amy?
February
6th. February 6th, and that is definitely an agenda item today. I am going to be,
yes.
Pardon me? Yeah.
Did you get that, John A?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All set, yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to turn it over to Amy then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we typically go through sort of a work plan and think about the future on our retreats, but this time we have it in conjunction with an actual real-life, going-to-be-on-the-shelf adopted, off-the-shelf, actively being implemented art plan that our consultants are working on with us. So I just wanted to get you up to speed on that a little bit. I wanted to remind you all of kind of some of the genesis of the art plan, which is this Arts and Cultural Vitality Report. This was a strategic plan that the city commissioned a couple years ago now. And Arts and Cultural Vitality is one of the 7 strategies that the city is moving forward with. It's a little tricky because there's these odd, you know, moving parts of some things moving forward and some things happening and other things being needed and, you know, what we're doing in the midst of it. But it's important, I think, for us to continue to look at this, figure out how we're moving this forward, but also looking at where the gaps might be in this and how we're making sure that we're still advancing the needs of the arts in Tacoma. What you have before you, the first three pages, you need to get one, make sure one gets around to Rebecca. The first three pages are directly from the larger strategic plan, and then on the back are the 5 overarching strategies that the 5-year art plan is proposing right now, or 6 of them for the 5-year art plan. And then I was told the other day that we have to come up with 3 goals for 10 years, looking at the arts 10 years down the line if this plan was if we were to be implementing this 2025 effectively. So I don't expect to solve this all tonight. We're just trying to prime the pump of what's going to be coming down. Naomi and Rebecca and I are working with the consultants to try to help them massage all the information they've come down with from all the folks and get it to something we can really chew on. Yes, Katrina?
At the last retreat, we had a specialist come and talk to us. I think that was hired to help review the plan. Is she going to come again? Or?
That was Tanisha.
Yeah.
And she probably won't come to our retreat, but okay. She will come to this meeting again. So figuring out when the best time to have that intersection is important because they're helping to pay for this plan also. Ms. Stevich, welcome.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to throw out there just as a maybe feedback to give the consultants before it even comes back to you on the 6th, just in discussions that staff was having. If we look at the top three community priorities, increase participation in arts and culture, embrace Tacoma's diversity of people, places, and cultures, leverage and strengthen Tacoma's arts and cultural assets, and we flip over to the back page and look at their 6, I don't know the answer to it yet, but I was thinking it might make sense to directly use those overarching strategies where they make sense. For example, I would recommend replacing foster diversity and inclusiveness with the embrace Tacoma's diversity of people, places, and cultures, so it's a direct tie-in. I don't know why we have to read or write it kind of differently to try to meet the same goal. I don't know, like grow and sustain the creative community is giant, as is increased participation in arts and culture and leveraging and strengthening. I mean, those are big things, so I can see breaking some of those down into smaller chunks.
Amy, how do you see these two things working together, the strategies and the priorities? Is the strategy a way to achieve the priority goals? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the part that everybody's trying to get their head around. So this arts and cultural vitality is the city's big, big strategic plan. So then the 5-year art plan should help advance these things, for sure. And these are kind of broad enough to be able to fit, you know, most everything we do in there. Public art is not called out very clearly in the 2025 at all, so I think it's up to us to make sure that that's included more clearly in there. Mm-hmm. But, yes?
So in the 5-year plan, how are they structuring this? Are they doing a logic model, or what is their process?
Right now, it is a giant matrix with strategies and then a ton of stuff under it, and we're trying to work with them to make it more digestible for the 6th. So we can actually, you know, look at how-tos and the approaches and why we would bother. Which isn't developed enough now. That's why we need the 6th to really sink into it. What I kind of wanted to talk about just today is, well, if you would support replacing the foster diversity inclusiveness with that direct sentence from the 2025. And then just to start to think about it. Yes, ma'am.
How is this going to be executed? Is that in the plan? Is this everybody's responsible for making sure these strategies are followed? Or,
well, see, that's the tricky part, because there's an advisory committee that's looking at this whole Tacoma 2025 bit, and then there's, like I said, we were just approached with, we need to have sort of our departmental 3-year goals, but I'm in community and economic development. And so we have those, but I'm like, well, arts and cultural vitality is its own thing, so I wanted to come and talk to you guys about that. But I would hope that, you know, our 5-year plan, since we're putting effort into it, would drive a 10-year plan, you know, a strategy of where we want to be in 10 years. So, I mean, I put a 1 goal for a 10-year strategy, which I think is imperative, which is to develop and maintain affordable creative space in downtown and throughout the neighborhoods of Tacoma. So if we're successful in 10 years, what do we need to do to make sure that creativity and activities are still happening throughout the city, and that people can afford space, and that everybody in our city can go down the street and have access to some sort of creative experience, you know? So that's the kind of like long-term thinking. If we're successful, if we're successful too much in some areas, it might flush out the creative energy in our town. So what do we need to do to think about that? Somebody had some.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what do you feel like is the difference between growing, sustaining the creative community and creating a healthy arts infrastructure?
And this is where language is important. Healthy arts infrastructure is designed to be more about funding for the arts, how the office could look, how we increase, you know, fundraising efforts to go towards the arts. So, and we were talking about that as maybe not being the right word. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. What are these, you know, how could we say that better to really show more that it's more about management and development of the arts?
I really feel like promoting Tacoma as an arts destination isn't necessarily included specifically in these at this point either.
Because when we were Tacoma as an arts
destination. It is. Community, it's not even part of community priorities.
Right. And that would, could you imagine that would fit under any of the community priorities in Tacoma 2025? Would it fit under leverage and strength of Tacoma's arts and cultural assets?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
That's kind of weak, though. The connection isn't, it's not like a priority if it's, you know, fit into that. Is that all we get? I mean, can we add a 5D? Or?
No, they'll be, I mean, these are the overarching umbrellas. So, like, if you were to say increase participation in arts and culture, that could mean, you know, funding could fit under that to make sure that we have funding programs that continue to support artists and arts organizations to do things that people want to go to and that artists can participate in. It could include marketing and promotion of Tacoma so that there's, you know, more people coming and doing, you know, so they're, each of these things, just think of them as like big buckets. But what the hard work is now is how do we achieve those big buckets? What do we need to be doing? We need to be promoting, we need to be funding, we need to be.
Well, and we have accountability measures to the right that I think actually does reference the promoting Tacoma as an arts destination with the increasing economic impact of creative and cultural events in Tacoma. There's a pretty strong tie in there. Something that I notice in the city information here is a pretty strong emphasis on youth, and I don't see any strategies that reflect that.
Okay, right. So that's something when we do ours. So, I mean, the good news, bad news is that there's a vacuum. Good news is that we have the opportunity to be filling that vacuum to say this is how we suggest you get there, or this, you know, at least from our standpoint and from the knowledge and resources that we bring to the table. Now maybe their other group has some other ideas of other partnerships or things, you know, but I know that this is just sort of like, whoa, there's a lot more context and a lot more to be had, but that's why we're going to be spending the whole retreat on it. But I didn't want you all to just be there and go like, wait, what was that 2025 again? Right. 2020. In the year 2025.
I think what will help is seeing that visual matrix, how things are aligned. I think that will help in our task to kind of fill in the blanks where that falls in. Because doing this back and forth is really hard for me to, like, what are... Yes.
Right.
But seeing the matrix that they have created, I think will make it a lot easier for us to jump in. And,
and I'm not expecting you to solve it now. Definition. I just want to keep in, especially for new folks, but even for those of us who are aware of this Tacoma 2025, to just try to understand that there's sort of this continuum. And it's challenging. But we... have the opportunity to focus on things we know are important still that we want to see happen for arts and artists in Tacoma and et cetera. So, and you had a suggestion for
excuse me. So the agenda, I guess, is still in flux a little bit, although it is going to be primarily about this. But there are going to be a little bit of exercises at the beginning, a little bit of get to know each other. But we had a conversation with the executive committee about one of the things we talk a lot about as commissioners is what is our role. And there tends to be, and I know I've done this a lot, sort of this, well, I need to get out there more. I need to, you know, make sure that people know that what we're doing and advocate for the arts. And what does that really mean? So sometimes it just doesn't happen. It's a big commission. I think we all allow some of us others who are really more out there and more present in the community to speak on behalf of us. So what I was hoping is that we would start the day at some point with New Year's resolutions. This is kind of good for all of us, including me especially. And so I want you guys to be thinking about two things that you want to do as a commissioner in the year, and then we'll talk, bring it to the meeting. You can, if you forget, then you'll have to just come up on the fly at the beginning of the meeting. But try to think of a couple of things that you want to do, and then at the end of the day, maybe we'll revisit those. Because I think, especially for newer commissioners and even those of us that have been here for a while, it's great to remind ourselves, I mean, as we go through the retreat, sort of what it is that we do collectively, who we are as a commission, and some of the priorities. So maybe at the end of the day, you might want to change one or two. We'll see. So anyway, that's something that will come up. Stay tuned.
Yeah, so basically we'll do our icebreakers. We'll do the your commission, or what is the word I'm looking for? Commitment to the commission and how you want to participate, and we'll give just a overview of what we do just to make sure everybody knows, and then we will spend the majority of the stuff on the art plan.
Yeah. I mean, so examples could be if you haven't done a coffee with a council member, for instance, I will do two of those this year, and I will make sure to go to one performance a month, or go to TAM, and I haven't been there in a couple of months. But of course, Stephanie, we've all been there regularly. That was just a hypothetical.
I've been very, very good attendance.
Great.
Amy and Mike, will you give us the agenda before the meeting?
Oh yeah.
I mean, before the retreat, so we can actually, you know, be prepared. And
yeah, you'll have the agenda, and you'll have the matrix or
whatever it is.
Matrix, blue or red pill before you. Terrible. Okay. So Stephanie, before you arrived, let people know we were lucky enough to have you today, and if you wanted to come and give a chat with us about the recent activities at the museum,
sure.
We would love to hear from you. Maybe just one of these up here if you're comfortable with it. Everybody, may I present Ms. Stephanie Stevish, Executive Director of Tacoma Art Museum.
Yay.
Are you purring as a cat?
That was a drum roll.
First of all, thank you for your work. I am so proud of Tacoma and what an active arts commission we have, and the emphasis on the arts. I think it really makes our community very special, and I'm so pleased that it's part of the grand plan for our city, and it's about vitality. And I'll tell you two stories. So one, I was up at CL the other day, and everybody said to me, all our artists are moving to Tacoma.
Woo-hoo!
I said, what's wrong with that? And then more specifically, people were saying, boy, they're not only buying houses, but they can also have finding workspace, whether it's in their garage or, as Amy and I were corresponding earlier, some interesting workspace in the Nalley Valley. And I thought, wow, that's really great. I love it when other people tell me about how wonderful our community is. So I'm sure that happens to you when you're out and about. So just briefly, I was in correspondence with Amy asking a favor of her, and I said I had planned to come to your meeting tonight. I was free this evening. I'd just like to check in. And I said I'd be happy to share some of the recent activities at the museum that have been covered in the press. So, and this should be interactive, so fire away. I thought I'd just review kind of the schedule, the timeline of events, just to get everybody on the same page, and then sort of where things fit together. So as you may know, we just closed on Sunday a groundbreaking and important exhibition called Art Aids America. So an exhibition like this has not been produced, which is really an art exhibition about how AIDS has impacted the arc of art history. Because of AIDS, art looks fundamentally different. In some ways, people think it's also an AIDS exhibition. However, we're really not a history museum. Although museums, I think, have a social justice agenda as well. So there's been a lot of information about AIDS. There's a timeline as well and some context. For those folks who weren't around in the 80s or 90s really experienced it. So with this exhibition, we said early on, this cannot be just a white, male, gay exhibition. You know, where are the women artists, the Asian American artists, Hispanic, African American, transgender artists, the lesbians? Really try to make it, you know, an inclusive exhibition.
We also like to favor the Northwest, so we want to make sure there were Northwest artists included. And then we also invited local community artists to do a kind of a response to the exhibition, kind of a social justice piece in an ancillary space, in our community art space. And we've had a lot of rich programming involved with bringing in different voices and different perspectives. So Chris Jordan, who you may know, is an artist and activist whose work was also on display in our ancillary sort of Tacoma community project, came to a museum program and said he felt that there was a paucity of African-American artists. He expected there to be more African-American artists represented in the exhibition because the fact is that the black community is disproportionately impacted by AIDS. All true, all on true. So our curator, Rob Pushka, who knows Chris, made an effort to meet with him and have a conversation with him. Unbeknownst to Rock, this was more of an interview than a conversation, and it veered off topic, and these notes of his conversation were then blogged, I don't know if that's a verb, put on a blog posting or such.
Mm. Published, for more or less.
Published, mm-hmm. Right. Published in the sort of blog context. Then that was December 16th, just sort of a timeline, so end of November. And then on our free third Thursday on December 17th, we had a peaceful protest. A group came in and had a die-in. So I really am grateful. The group was very respectful, you know, took their backpacks off, you know, can't bring umbrellas, you know, all that. And with the die-in, I'm a veteran of die-ins, you take up space, you lie down, and they chant, about two dozen folks. And it involved the Tacoma Action Collective, and Chris Jordan was there as well, and who knows, maybe some of you were there too, either as visitors or protesting, who knows. So that evening, there was a press release issued by the group, and the group only stayed for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. They handed out some materials and put some stickers up. We had to take the stickers out, but we left their materials out, especially in our reflection space. So they issued a press release with various demands to change the exhibition, advocating for more diversity in all areas of the museum, and also sort of suggesting that the museum do some workshops and training, particularly undoing institutional racism was the recommendation. So the Tacoma Art Museum, you know, in response to that, we sent out our own press release and explained the peaceful protest. We acknowledged the concerns of the group, which we think are important and valid. It is a nuanced point that this is really an art exhibition and not a history exhibition. However, again, it's a valid point that they made about representation. We support freedom of expression. We even invited the group to come in and have another die-in protest or protest before the exhibition closed if they wanted to bring attention to their, you know, to their point. We were grateful for the dialogue that they invited us to as part of their press release. They said they'd love to talk with the Tacoma Art Museum on ways we can be more inclusive. So we welcome that. And then in our press release, we also mentioned you know, the current diversity of the staff, and we also mentioned that we have some upcoming programming, specifically an exhibition called 30 Americans, which is only African-American artists working in contemporary art. Major national traveling show we've been hankering to get. And finally
I saw
booked.
It in Milwaukee. It's one of the best shows I've seen in years.
Great. So we finally got on the schedule, and that will open in fall of this year. We also talked about our education programming and that one of the challenges in the museum field really is diversity on all levels, from the board to the staff, the membership, the audiences, and that we were also really committed to having a pipeline. We want to interest people in the work of the museums. And also mentioned that there have been important surveys, Tacoma Art Museum participant funded by Mellon, about, again, the paucity of diversity and, you know, the lack of diversity in cultural institutions, art museums in particular. The News Tribune then wrote an article a day or two later, which we found fairly fair and balanced. They interviewed us, they interviewed Chris Jordan and such. And then on, you know, given the holidays and such, we met with the group, so we accepted the invitation to meet on December 30th. I invited my board president. Again, I thought it was important that he, as a committee member, you know, listen to the group. My deputy director was there, who deals with staff training and organizational capacity. My director of education was there. My chief curator, Rock, and I was there. Chris Jordan came, and then three members of the Tacoma Action Collective came as well. And I have to say, it was a very positive, it was a very productive conversation. You know, thank you for meeting, thank you for taking time. And we talked through some of their, you know, demands, requests, protests. So, first of all, we can't change an exhibition once it's up. It's like a printed book. You know, you have to get insurance forms, you have to get loan forms, you have to transport things, you have to do labels, you have to do lighting, you know, the space. So in the middle of an exhibition, you don't change things up. However, the exhibition is designed as such that when it travels nationally, and we're very proud to get the Tacoma name out there, when it travels nationally, we will strongly encourage our colleagues to, add different works. I can tell you they plan to do it anyway because not all the loans are going to each institution, and every museum really likes to showcase their own collection. So there were going to be substitutions. And then we invited them to think about this issue of representation and diversity in the exhibition, and again, address it in relationship to their own communities, right? Diversity means different things in different settings. So it's going to Kennesaw State University in Atlanta, where the Center for Disease Control is, again, important piece of the AIDS history. It goes to the Bronx Museum of Art, a great museum, which has a very high HIV and AIDS infection rate. And then it's going to an institution in Chicago that we're not at liberty to share as well. So again, very different communities. I would offer that, again, Art Aids America is very diverse and was intended to be so, particularly showcasing work by artists in marginalized communities, the LGBTQA. We did that with Heidsieg, an exhibition which we took, and now in this. We think diversity and inclusion is important in all that we do at the museum. We also believe it's a pipeline issue and trying to get people interested in the museum field and compensate people appropriately and understand what's all what's involved. And I would tell you, more than ever, museums are called to deal with social justice issues. And as I talk to my colleagues about this experience, and I'm committed to continuing to talking about this nationally, because I'm on the American Alliance of Museums Board that represents 21,000 museums and zoos and history museums, and I'm also a past trustee of the Association of Art Museum Directors, and they're the ones who publish the study on diversity in museums. I think there's a chance for us to exceed expectations in how we respond, to invite further conversation, to think about other ways we can program and do more with our community, if that is an interest of our community. I have to say, if people care enough to come and protest at the Tacoma Art Museum, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. That means they care. If they don't show up at all, then I feel like, we're not even thinking about you. So I would also tell you that this is sort of a younger generation, and they are the future, and they're interested in how museums function and what they mean in the world. And yet I would also tell you my expectation is if you're going to protest, then you have a responsibility to partner with us. Mm-hmm. And Tacoma Action Collective has been, again, wonderfully responsive and said, yes, we'd be happy to be a resource for you. So when we talked about 30 Americans, I said to them, this is a tough show. This has a lot of difficult political and social messages that could arrive very poorly. One wouldn't necessarily know that the work is all by African Americans, and there are, again, controversial images and topics in there. And we typically do advisory committees for exhibitions where we have an area where we don't have expertise. The Art Aids America, there are areas we don't have expertise. So they have already committed to work with us to help us find people to serve and such. So that's where things sit. We're looking to schedule another meeting and conversation. We're looking to do a public forum or a more open conversation. We said the museum should be a venue for future conversations and events. Invite us to other conversations. We're all in. We are going to redouble our efforts. I would tell you, I've been here 10 years. It's an issue and concern for me, and I feel like we've made progress, but I'm not being asked to do more. We can do more. We'll work more. But again, we can't do it in isolation. We're going to need help. So that's the story. We've also had staff conversations. What did it feel like for the staff to be here? Where are we on the spectrum of being more inclusive? How do our staff members who are people of color feel? What kind of openings do we have at the museum, and where can we look to fill positions? Where can we get more trustees and other community members to get involved in the life of the museum? So I think, as one colleague said, Stephanie, you're being called to leadership. There are 1,000 exhibitions and 1,000 other museums that could have had this kind of a protest or engagement. They picked you. So what are you going to do with it? So in the spirit of having conversation, we're all committed to talking about this. Oh, and we happen to have been invited to the Black Collective to talk about Art in America way before, and the protest. However, the timing was perfect a week later. So there was a really healthy conversation. I love the Black Collective. It was very civil and inclusive. And as luck would have it, Chris Jordan happened to be there and some other members of the Action Collective. So.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
I'd like to say something. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead.
Okay.
No, go.
Well, so I guess I want to come from a more personal place. As a commissioner, you know, thank you for sharing this. I was in the first ACT UP march on Washington, D.C. in October 1987, and I was involved in HIV work for years after that. And the history of AIDS is the history of is protest. If you hadn't had a protest, you probably didn't have a good exhibition.
Mm.
Right? You didn't inspire anybody to be upset about anything. And you actually did. You inspired people to be upset about something, and that is great. And your response to it, I think, shows an open heart, an open mind, and a desire to embrace the message that is in protest. And so I just want to congratulate you for that. It sounds like the perfect way to welcome people in who can help improve an institution that apparently is aware that all institutions can use some improvement. So thank you for sharing this.
Thank you, Paul. And coincidentally, we had a closing party yesterday, as I mentioned, and we invited the Tacoma Action Collective to participate as part of the program and a dialogue as well. And our last speaker was a member of not only ACT UP, but Grand Fury, who created a piece, and he happens to be, how does he describe himself? As a New Yorican, so he's African-American and also Puerto Rican. And he really engaged in conversation with the protesters, in, I thought, was like a really healthy, happy way, and he said, keep going. Keep doing more. Mm-hmm. You know, ask for what you want your community and your society. So, thank you.
I just wanted to say also, I commend you for the great work that you do. I really do. And I think I've said that a couple times to you by phone and in person. But I think that one of the things that comes to mind, I've been a member of Tacoma Black Collective for many, many years. And also a member of the NAACP. So I'm thinking that maybe listening to the story and what's going on, you're always going to have people that are going to say it's not enough or it's too much or it's, you know, you never can please everybody. But I'm thinking that maybe if you had the endorsement of the NAACP or either the Black Saturday Collective, which is what you're referring to,
sure,
maybe in a partnership role, you know, where they're invested in a partnership with you. And I know that there's several people that are on the Black Collective that are writers, that are artists, that are musicians, that are in the artist community in Tacoma, that are working artists. And, I mean, we have people from Lyle Kwasim to ex-mayors to, you know, there's just a broad spectrum of leadership.
Group.
Yeah, it is. Great group. And I was just thinking that, you know, I could really see them serving as partners. And as advocate, if they're partners, they're going to be more advocates for you. And so I'm thinking that if we can get them more involved, because they talk about it, so now they have to, you know, show up.
Right.
So I think that as a suggestion, I think if you could get NAACP, you know, as an advocacy for you, and Saturday Black Collective as an advocacy for you, I think that would be great.
And maybe even the Urban League.
And the Urban League as well,
yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, maybe you and I can have a
I would love to, Stephanie.
Because, again, we are looking for resources.
Yeah.
And we would like to shine a larger light on this for ourselves and our institutions.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
All right. Thank you, Wanda. Other questions?
I just want to say that I appreciate your approach. I appreciate that they brought it up. And I hope that this creates a larger conversation, just because as a previous museum worker, I know that it's a problem in the field. And I don't think that it is a problem that gets enough attention. And so I think that with the 2025 plan and the emphasis on equity and diversity and focusing on truly representing our community, I think that it's very timely, and I hope that it's a conversation that expands past the art museum into the museum community of the Northwest, because I think it's a necessary conversation.
Thank you. And I would tell you that museums still suffer from an old perception that we have columns in front of the door and that we're only for a small section of the community, preferably white, preferably focused on Western art, and preferably wealthy, too, as a colleague of mine says often. So I would hope that you don't see the Tacoma Art Museum in such a way. At least physically, we don't have columns. Glass, and hopefully are more welcoming in appearance and all things. And we also have work to do to make sure that people feel welcome and appreciated and recognized. When I was starting in the museum field almost some 30 years ago, when I would go to a museum, I'd see an elderly white woman greeting me. And and I was thinking to myself, how do other people feel when they arrive? And yet, this person was volunteering and cared a lot, so there was something lovely about that. However,
our Office of Equity and Human Rights, I don't know the details, but they have a capacity building grant specifically for such things as institutional racism and figuring out how to...
And Diane Powers, who heads that, is also on our collection committee at the Tacoma Art Museum, so we have access to her under the museum.
Great. Well, I appreciate your being willing to come and...
Sure, and I'd be happy to come back again in a year and say, how's it going? Any progress? Or, again, I think there are moments where Tacoma can shine, where we can say... We've heard from our community and that we're responsive and inclusive, and that we want to lead. And I'm going to leave you with, we're going to have a big announcement this week, so look at the newspapers on Thursday.
Okay.
It's good news. Although, there may be other things that
the entire newspaper necessarily be good news.
So. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
All right, Amy.
Okay. So, for those of you who've been here that multitude of years, 8 years or whatever, if you've been here 6 years or longer, how many remember the Arts and Economic Prosperity Survey? All right. Well, I think it might have been before
you. Yeah,
your time.
I think so, yeah.
So, this is a study that's conducted nationally through Americans for the Arts, and we are participating again this year. And this will be great because it'll be our third year, so we have two series of benchmarks against which to measure our progress. And it's an amazing study because it's both, we put a bit of a burden on our arts organizations to give us information about, you know, what their budgets are and how many people they hire and all that stuff. And then you all are charged with the second piece of the survey, which I think is so important and makes it so much more relevant and accurate for our community, which is we're charged with taking surveys, like going out and actually talking to people every quarter, so it's not just like one time a year or anything like that, and we identify a variety of different events, from the teeny, maybe a poetry reading, to a big Asia-Pacific cultural annual New Year celebration, or, you know, the symphony, or a museum opening, or whatever. So it's really getting a true cross-section, and yes, it's a little bit uncomfortable having to ask people how they, you know, did they have to hire a babysitter, or did they go out to dinner, and how much money did they spend, and things like that. But the returns are so fantastic, because one, they compare apples to apples because we're looking against our own timeline, but we're also compared to other cities our size, other cities that are larger, smaller, this, that, and the other. And we all know that economic impact is not the only benefit of the arts, but it's certainly one of those key pieces to be able to give that, you know, when we have to talk about return on investment. And it was really helpful last budget cycle, the big budget cycle, when things were really tenuous. You guys trotted out these figures, and you could say, hey, it's a $65 million economic impact, even in the recession. And the thing that was so interesting about the survey, or the results last time, was that it showed comparatively to other cities our size, and I always get, it's hard for me to figure out how to say this right, so I hope I do it right, but basically our people were spending money on arts and on and around arts and culture, in addition to going paying for the places they went, more than two-thirds of other cities our size. So even in our town, blue-collar town, as people like to say, some people still, in the heart of a recession, people are still choosing to spend their money on and around the arts. So I think that was a huge, huge takeaway for that. We had less dollars coming in from the outside. Our cultural tourism dollars were fewer, but that was a trend across the nation. So we'll be gearing up to do this, and I think it'll just come back even stronger. I mean, with the museum's new wing and LeMay having a few years under its belt and Seaport redone and, you know, just, the presumably out of the recession, it'll be curious to see what it looks like. So I just want to give you a heads up on that and know that you're going to be, you know, asked to do that heavy lifting, and but it's great. I mean, it's not too painful, right, even Dawn?
No one threatened me.
Good. We'll be pitching this to the Arts Coalition tomorrow to make sure our arts organizations are on board, and they're usually really great. If we're in the symphony that day, that Andy will stand up and say, hey, you might see surveys, you know, please be nice to those people that are asking for your information. We don't get the results for like another year, till 2017 or something like that, but, you know.
When is this going to start?
Now?
Oh.
When Naomi gets back.
I have a survey.
Let's see. Yes. She wrote me a whole sheet of paper. Let's see. Is there anything?
Please help out in caps.
Please help out. Expect Naomi to have a sign-up list of events to attend where commissioners will be administering the audience intercept surveys. These will be emailed to commissioners in the next few weeks. Please help out. So, yeah. And then we collect them all. We make sure that Americans for the Arts gets them, and then we have the other job of nagging our folks in our different organizations to fill out that form as well. So
go do great. Good things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, public art updates. Don't have a ton, but what we have.
To take down the time. I'm not used to taking notes. So public art updates, they're all moving and there's a lot going on. Lincoln District is underway, moving forward, as is Prairie Line Trail Spur. You guys should be seeing stuff for both of those soonish. Metro Parks, in December, finalists were chosen for the for two aquarium projects, and they'll be interviewed in just a couple weeks here. We're doing a project with Metro Parks also, the Water Flume Line Trail and Oak Tree Park in South Tacoma. That actually closes tonight, so I will be processing applications soon here, and we'll be and we're looking actually for a commissioner to sit on that panel. And we're also working on another project in South Tacoma along the business district, so lots going on in South Tacoma. And I'd also love a commissioner to serve on that panel as well. So, is that it? Others?
I think so. Yeah. Those are the big ones right now.
Like I just did that in like one breath. I'm looking for two commissioners to serve on panels, especially if you have connections to South Tacoma.
Or if you like bicycling,
or
if trails,
you like,
or business districts,
or public.
If you care about your city, you'll sit on this committee.
I'd love to sit on the business district panel.
I could do the one with the trail.
Great. Awesome. Okay, Katrina Trail, and Rachel for South Dakota. Perfect. Cool. All right, promise you a short meeting.
And the Belay sculpture was supposed to be coming down this week, but we're waiting for some paperwork to come through. That will be deinstalled, is the word I'm using for it, very soon here. So by the end of the month, it should be down, unfortunately.
And did they have plans to reinstall something new? Or just
not that I
don't know. The property switched hands in December from the city to the Hotel Murano, the Providence Group. So I'm not sure what... They haven't rolled out any changes as of yet. I can't. I would imagine they would at some point.
Is that the concrete wall sculpture?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I was envisioning like a concrete patch. You know.
It'll just be the wall. It'll look better than it does now, just because the piece is so degraded.
It'll be safer, at least.
Yeah.
It's a lovely piece. It's too bad we have to take it down, but we are trying. The artist, one of the artist's friends, who's in the area, we're going to try to preserve the top section for him at the artist's request. But
somebody took the bottom section.
Somebody, part of it's already gone, unfortunately.
Wow.
But sad, but necessary. So.
There's a very strong advocate in the community who had written to us and to the museum and others to try to advocate for its preservation, but just not possible.
Yeah, and there has been some interest from the, I think the Daily Index, or there was a little bit of media asking about when it's coming down, so in case you see something.
And then we will be moving. There's a big drawing in the Bicentennial Pavilion that we're just going to be moving to the Convention Center. It's a beautiful piece by Bill Hoppe. So it'll have a new home, and
the Warhols
will be
downstairs.
Moving into the office. So we're just shifting some work around and making sure it's safe and stuff. So,
what about the traffic boxes?
Good question.
The weather has been holding them off a bit. We did one test installation that looked great.
It looks awesome.
But a few of the edges are peeling up and stuff, so we have some quality control. And I think it, you know, just in the freezing cold and the wet, kind of hard to make happen. But
I have a question. What about the big D to M, the large
octopus
galloping greedy /
Excellent question. Well, the city purchased that land from Sound Transit.
Okay.
And so that threw a few curves around. We've been working. It's kind of good news, but complicated. You think you're going down one path that seems fine, and then, you know, another agency in the city pops up and says, oh, we're going to be doing that with that site. And I'm like, no, we're going to do a big sculpture there. You don't need to. But it's... there are some concerns around homeless encampments. Well, you're right there, right? So,
right. And lighting, I suggested strongly that lighting be a good component.
So looking at lighting, looking at just site reclamation in general. They were looking to do landscaping there. I'm like, no, we're doing a big sculpture. Do landscaping, but not, you know, outside of this context. So I think I finally have all the different pieces moving in the same direction. The artists are supposed to come back to town probably February now, just because February is almost tomorrow, feels like. But it's back on track, and we hope to have it installed by summer. I mean, it's very close. It's just all these moving parts. There was a question about mitigation and whether there'd be some lawsuit about having to dig up the sewer line. I mean, just things that the joys of public art that some of us
are familiar with. Yeah, about climbing and all that stuff, looking on it.
Yeah, it's sort of the thing, balance between climbing versus creating places where people can stash things and where people could sleep or where people could not, and whether, you know, it's complicated. I thought it was straightforward, but nothing ever is, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look for that soon, and we'll be convened. Were you participated in that selection?
No, I was on early on,
early
but not on.
On
the...
That's right. Mike and Tracy. So, well, I'll let you know, and we can, you know, when the artists come to town, we'll pull together some more intel. Because I think, you know, the other good news is now that the city owns it, they're saying we need it to be a gateway into downtown, so we have that directive. Well, what's better than a gigantic sculpture to help, you know?
Will this help James' thing move forward, too? Because he's caught up with Sound Transit doing that aspect.
Yes,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
We're trying.
It's complicated.
That's right. Check that box.
I have a question. It's kind of a stupid question.
No question is stupid.
Thank you.
It's Wanda's happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
by the
way.
Oh, happy birthday. Yay.
This is me at 6:30.
We have to get out of town.
I don't know. Have we ever been in the business of taking public art and put it into commercial businesses? I know that we had that Murano exhibit that we just talked about, but I was just driving by downtown. I was looking at the new spaghetti factory with all the new fancy, you know, marquee and all the stuff out. Do we ever take public work and put it into commercial businesses? I mean, it seems like that would be such a good golden opportunity to mix business with art and the Arts Commission, which we talk about in the Vitality in the 2025. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Kinda. Have we ever done that?
The closest we do with that is with SpaceWorks, with the art and with the window installations.
Okay.
So kind of.
Pacific Plaza. I mean, I don't know if she's.
Pacific Plaza is a public-private partnership, and we manage that project for them. There might be future opportunities with private developments, but window installations is pretty much SpaceWorks'
thing.
Bailiwick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there something like the Point Rustin that they were trying to do something like that, or commission work?
Point Rustin commissioned a lot of work just from artists. We really had little to do with that. But I'm sort of concerned because I heard that they're going to donate, or the city owns the sidewalk part now or something, and I don't know how much of artwork is there or not. But there's a tricky thing, and we skirt the line legally by identifying public benefit. So there always has to be a public benefit. We mm-hmm. can't do anything that directly benefits a private business without some nexus between public good.
Mm-hmm.
So like with the murals program, those are often usually on public, privately owned buildings because we want those partnerships.
Right, right.
But the murals have to be publicly facing. They have to be publicly messaged. It's not about, oh, I want an artist to paint my sign on my building that tells you that my furniture store's in there. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it's finding that public benefit piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that can often be made if somebody were to have a window. But, I mean, if it's a thriving, good business, it's more like the derelict buildings or the things like that we're trying
mm-hmm.
to show some activity with using art sometimes.
I mean, we have so much historic, like, public works that seem like it would fit with the theme, the motif around the Spaghetti Factory, like a sculpture or something in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just thinking out loud. Just mm-hmm. I drove past there and I had a brainstorm and I thought, what if?
Right.
You're thinking about existing works then.
Yeah.
Of citing them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's an insurance issue.
Yeah, I'm sure it's something
kind of
legal. But
well, I mean, it's a city asset.
Mm. We don't even have a lot hanging around either.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
Yeah, just curious.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it for any other lingering questions out there? As far as other check-in stuff, we've been working with Metro Parks to develop their public art program and public art plan, and that should come to fruition hopefully in February. But basically the idea is that we're partnering with them to implement their program. So it's great because we get to do what we do best and help them to get more projects for artists out there. So that's cool, but it's hard. It's challenging. And then we're working on our art plan stuff, too, to get that queued up for you guys. One thing that I want you all to know about on February 1st, which is a Monday, are the Mayor's Mixers. And this topic is adaptive reuse and creative space. And it's really awesome because there will be five projects on the docket. One will be Eli Moreno and the development of the McKinley Station Lofts into Artists Live Work spaces.
What time?
Yay. It is from 5 to 6:30. So it'll be at 1120 Pacific, so 1120 Creative House, which is a SpaceWorks co-working spot. The way these functions work is...
invitation.
Did you?
I literally just got the
wow!
invitation email.
Awesome.
That's weird. It just came up. That's
so
bizarre.
Did I get the time right? 5 to 6:30?
Yes.
At
1120
Creative
House.
The mayor says something, and then... the couple of projects will talk, you know, be there. It's meant to be a meet and greet, but since these are construction projects, they'll have a couple photos and just tell you about them. There are some artists that are doing an artist incubator that's going to be focused on musicians and primarily, but other things too. At the old Carpenter's Building, it's on Fawcett. It's this amazing space, so it'd be cool to hear about them, what they have in mind. Valhalla Hall is actually a city project. It's up on Hilltop. And it's not designed specifically for artists, but there's no reason why it wouldn't be a nice, affordable project for creatives to want to know about.
Yep.
Feast Art Center That's not a living space, but it's adaptive reuse of an old garage up at 11th and Sheridan by Lib Donut, my favorite donut place. That's not a plug.
No public endorsement.
And I like Donut, and I like other donuts. So they're going to talk about their artists, art center and classes. Let's see. And then Kevin Grossman is redeveloping the Brown Star Grill up on the hilltop too. So some projects are actually happening that are coming online. And then the city changed its code to include something called Work Live, which they're going to be able to talk about too, which enables spaces to be commercial, so you can run your business in the front, live in the back, like the olden days.
Cool.
Like that. So it's some exciting stuff that we've been talking about for years, and I can't believe they're actually real projects that are queued up. So that's cool. That's what I got for now. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but
you'll remember. Nathan's name and Naomi have anything?
Volunteer hours. People have to please fill out if you can remember. Do we have anything else? Naomi's not here with the sign-up sheets.
Naomi's
queen of the sign-up sheets. We're mere
poppers.
She's
busy in the Magic Kingdom.
That's right. She brought her sign-up sheets to
Cinderella.
Yeah. I got to go to City Hall when I was at Disneyland.
No, it's good. 1 minute. We're 1 minute ahead of schedule.
All right.
Advocacy reports. I see this has got 2 minutes on the schedule, so if any of you have had council coffee, that would be awesome, or anything else that fits under the category. Advocacy reports. Well, that was 30 seconds, not 2 minutes. How about arts events attended? Who wants to talk about something that they've seen or experienced? And you're right, the eyes go right, Don. What's up, Don?
I just wanted to say went to First Night this year. It was very cold, but very well attended, at least the events I went to. One group that I went to even filled the Pantages.
Awesome.
They were turning people away.
Wow.
So I think that went well. Northwest Repertory Singers concert was well attended, very nice. They did it Saturday and Sunday. One thing I want to mention, tomorrow night, is the next Classical Tuesday in Old Town. And they have such a diversity of things they bring in. The last group I saw there was a flamenco dance group.
Wow.
And this Tuesday is an accordion orchestra.
Nice.
So,
accordion orchestra.
Well,
wow.
A group of accordion players.
Orchestra might be a stretch.
Well, I saw a hurdy-gurdy group that referred to themselves as an orchestra, so I guess a large group of the same instrument might be an orchestra. Anyway, they are nice concerts. They're free, and they've been getting more and more people going. So if you have a chance, give it a try. It's in the Slavonian Hall.
Great. Thanks, Don. And Kareem, I know you were playing probably everywhere. How many holiday concerts did you play?
A lot. My wife probably knows detailed information on that. I'll tell you all about it. A lot.
Well attended, I hope.
The only concerts that I really saw was some of the ones that the Tacoma Jazz Association are putting on, and some are well attended, some are not, but it's slowly getting off the ground. So, yeah.
Anybody else have anything to report for the good of the order?
We went to the Grand's sing-along for White Christmas for the first time this year.
Right,
it was really fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Even my husband does not sing. He didn't sing, but he still had a really great time. And my son loved it. Yeah, it was great.
Great.
You went to that.
I sang it
that.
Yeah.
She led it.
Cool.
And it was fun. And well attended. So it was a good event for the Grand. It was cute because they were trying to figure out how to have more sing-alongs since it was so popular. And White Christmas fit into their classic movies. So now they're trying to think, okay, so what else could be a sing-along that might fit into some of our genres?
Well, that's a nice Tacoma tie-in with that, too.
Well, Blue Mouse already does that.
Blue Mouse does that.
Oh, yeah, not an option.
I know there's a Sound of Music sing-along.
Yeah.
Right. Great. Anybody else?
I also went to First Night Tacoma for the first time since I was 7 years old. So I kind of went in, we'll see what this is all about. And I think one thing that I really enjoyed was that there was a good mix of ages. There were a lot of people, like young adults, which I thought was pretty cool. I think a lot of the like vitality that we have downtown that we didn't have in Tacoma in 1992 downtown when I first went to First Night. Has, you know, people can stop off at bars or go inside and get warm. The one thing I'd love to see in future nights is, and I know it's hard because it's so cold, but just encourage people to just more things to do out in the street. There was a really heavy focus on all the indoor activities, and I would have loved to see, I mean, we have so many interesting things going on at farmers markets and performances and things like that. It would be cool to invite more kind of street performers.
I would also say I went to First Night, and I've gone to First Night several times, and actually I've been involved in some of the artistic events that they had, and I did note that there was a lot less outdoor, and there have been in the past more stuff on the street. I was actually thankful because it was so cold. So, but and I want to say that I thought that the music and the performance stuff that I saw was some of the best that I've seen. And it was amazing to go to the one show where literally there was no room to sit down.
Was it the Rock Orchestra?
Yes.
People were dancing, and I was up dancing. Seattle Rock Orchestra.
Okay.
I know
from Seattle, but featuring many Stadium High School graduates.
Wow, that's cool.
I think in years past, there's been a lot more people outside. I just know that night it was really cold. Mm-hmm. I remember asking about concerts, going to a performance that night. My car door was frozen shut. I had to get in the passenger door and kick. So that's probably why a lot of people were not outside. But a lot, and I remember it was a couple years ago, you couldn't even walk down the sidewalk. There were so many people outside. So it was probably just...
Cool. Well, it's interesting because the city funds it at a pretty high level. And again, remember that public-private thing. The city has to fund the pieces that are outside or the part that engages for free with the community. So,
how long has First Night been in existence?
A long time. At least since 92. I don't know. Is that the first time?
Since we moved to Tacoma, at least.
Really?
Wow.
Had a small hiatus, but...
There was ice skating, by the way, but the record show.
Really? One thing. Is it still going on?
Stephanie? Last day was yesterday.
Oh.
One thing about First Night, they condensed the area down. So instead of going down to 13th, they stopped at 11th. So that made it easier to get to everything.
Mm-hmm. Great. I'm going to move on. Any future agenda items for consideration? Hearing none, we are adjourned at 6:08 p.m. Thank you.
Wow. We're meeting down.
Good.
11 to go.
It's all uphill.
Oh, no. I mean, I've been on the commission a long time. I've just had to sit in that seat close to the event.
Oh, my God.
I was going to schedule myself. And the show started.
Actually about evolution.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're it's TikTok. It's coming.
At the conservatory,
we have a baby step in the house. And like, where are we going to put all this stuff? So we're talking about where
it comes. When is it?
We'll see.
It was my husband.
Yeah.